Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Someone who values the role of people of all faiths in American life. I'm always touched by the amazing stories of love, service, and compassion that take place in this country every single day. They reinforce the power of my Christian faith, which has guided me through my presidency and in my life, as a husband, as a father, and as president.
You look great. The
whole I feel thing. Good.
How much do you weigh?
You know, about 180.
That's just about where I am, and I don't look so good at 180.
You know, you look sharp.
You haven't seen me naked.
We're going to keep it that way.
As the president said last night, the president has to be the president of all the people. This unfortunately demonstrated the demeaning attitude that Governor Obama has toward a large segment of the American people.
You have a man lying through his teeth. You have a deranged Pelosi who calls Romney Governor Obama. Then you have a lapdog press that is incomprehensible that we're living through all of this, and yet we are. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Now, today's show is focused upon the media meltdown. And the question to you is, I'm going to read you some topics. I'm going to give you some examples of what the worthless media is distorting and what the worthless media is ignoring. And then I'm going to invite you to call this creative show, The Savage Nation, with topics that are burning alive inside your heart for expression in your local paper or expression on your television shows that you used to rely upon. Let me begin with an article, so well written, a couple of sentences. One of my favorite writers, Charles Hurt, Washington Times, listen to this paragraph. What we are in the midst of witnessing right now is a complete Fukushima-style meltdown of the mainstream media. Without these slobbering lapdogs, Letterman, President Obama never would have been elected in the first place. And now they are his only hope for staying in office amid all the global violence, a morbidly paralyzed economy, and a national crisis of confidence so profound that the American dream has become nothing more than quaint fiction for millions. Now let's go on to the newspapers that have some respect. Respected newspapers around the world are reporting that the Obama administration was explicitly warned days before the attack on the American consulate in Libya, in which your ambassador was brutally killed and sodomized, by the way. But Obama officials, the dolts that they be, the university dolts that they are, did nothing to stop the worst terrorist attack on the U.S. since 9/11. Now I want to cut to The Letterman Show, another useless idiot, a man who's made a mockery of the word comedian. Listen to clip 20 and listen to the president lying.
The ambassador to Libya killed in an attack on the consulate in Benghazi.
Right.
Is this an act of war? Are we at war now?
No.
What happens here?
Well, here's what happened. You had a video that was released by somebody who lives here, sort of a shadowy character who is an extremely offensive video directed at Muhammad and Islam.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
Now, I want you to stop right there. The president says Muhammad, and the lapdog, the loser, the man who has no soul, the man who has no character, the man who has no body, the empty suit, the empty shell, Letterman, actually corrects the president because he works for the worst network in history, owned by General Electric, which pays no taxes. And Letterman says, after the president rightly says Muhammad, Letterman actually corrects him and says, oh, the Prophet Muhammad. I want you to see how bad this is. That as leftist as the president is, the media is even worse. 4 years after promising to cut the deficit in half, Obama has exploded the debt to a record $16 trillion. Welfare rolls ballooning to levels unimaginable. And the administration is paying for campaigns to recruit more people onto welfare. The $50 billion in defense cuts that Panetta and Obama wish to engage in, are they according to they themselves, they're saying will be deeply destructive to national security, domestic investments, and core government functions. There's more. There's more. And then instead of the vermin in the media focusing on the greatest foreign policy disaster in modern American history, which is the Arab world blowing up in the face of the academic lunatics who work for Obama who have no idea what they have wrought. They have no idea what they've created. They are denying what they've created because they only talk to each other. The other night he goes to a party with some rapper. Some rapper, I don't even know his name, who has gold champagne bottles lined up. Gold champagne bottles. Then Obama comes out with a straight face and says it's about taxing the rich. It's incomprehensible. This goes on. So let's focus a little bit more on the media meltdown. What other topics is the worthless media distorting or ignoring? I'll give you one. This came to us today from Forbes.com. Antarctic sea ice sets another record. Not getting smaller, Mr. Gore, getting deeper. Antarctic sea ice set another record this past week with the most amount of ice ever recorded on day 256 of the calendar year. Please, nobody tell the mainstream media or they might have to retract some stories and admit they are misrepresenting scientific data. National Public Radio published an article on its website last month claiming, quote, 10 years ago, a piece of ice the size of Rhode Island disintegrated and melted in the waters of Antarctica. Two other massive ice shelves along the Antarctic Peninsula had suffered similar fates a few years before. The events became poster children for the effects of global warming. There's no question that unusually warm air triggered the final demise of these huge chunks of ice, close quote. NPR, though, failed to mention anywhere in its article that Antarctic sea ice has been growing since satellites first began measuring the ice 33 years ago, and the sea ice has been above the 33-year average throughout 2012. Indeed, none of the mainstream media are covering this important story. A Google News search of the terms Antarctic, sea ice, and record turns up not a single article on the Antarctic sea ice record. Amusingly, page after page of Google News results for Antarctic sea ice record shows links to news articles breathlessly spreading fear and warning of calamity because Arctic sea ice recently set a 33-year low, which is a lie. Sea ice around one pole is shrinking while sea ice around another pole is growing. This sure sounds like a global warming crisis to me. And that's from James Taylor in Forbes.com. Now, the reason I'm focusing on this is because they're lying about Romney. They're selectively editing what Romney said 3 months ago, as they edited Michael Savage in order to make certain I was put on a list with murderers and terrorists. You do know that I'm the only member of the American media forbidden from entering the once United Kingdom. It's now a disunited kingdom run by a bunch of patsies, but I'm not allowed in there. Why? The very same rats in Media Matters, in my opinion, who are distorting what Romney did, distorted what I said, sent it to the idiots in England, and they banned me, putting me on a list of people who have actually killed and murdered people. Now they're trying to turn Romney into a killer. Now they're trying to turn Romney into someone who hates poor people. The very same rats in Media Matters, who, by the way, if we had a legitimate government, they would be indicted for tax fraud. All of their assets seized going back 5 years because they're no longer really a nonprofit organization. Media Matters is violating all of the rules of a 501c3. If we had a Republican Congress with any guts and brains, they would be tearing Media Matters tax records to shreds. They would arrest them. They would seize their assets. And that would be the end of this Stalinist group funded by George Soros. But it goes on. It gets worse. It gets even worse than what I am telling you. In Europe, Hitler is back. Anti-Semitism. Kristallnacht, as you may recall, if you know anything of history, occurred. It was known as the Night of the Broken Glass. Coordinated attacks against Jews throughout Nazi Germany and Austria on November 9th and 10th, 1938, carried out by SA paramilitary and civilians. German authorities looked the other way without intervening. The attacks left the streets covered with broken glass from the windows of Jewish-owned stores, buildings, and synagogues. That was the beginning of the Holocaust. That led to the gas chambers. That led to the extermination of 6 million Jews in the ovens. Why do I say Kristallnacht has returned to France? Today, 4 Jews injured after a bomb thrown at a kosher store. Other recent attacks in France. August 7th, 2012, Paris. A 17-year-old girl, Jewish, was a suburb. The Arab attacker made anti-Semitic insults during the incident, including, "Dirty Jew, I'm going to put you in the ground." July 20th, 2012, Paris. A synagogue was desecrated for the third time in 10 days when vandals threw prayer books and shawls on the floor and shattered the building's windows. July 5th, 2012, Toulouse. A 17-year-old student at a Jewish school, where 4 Jews were murdered by Mohamed Merah on March 19th, was assaulted on a train going from Toulouse to Lyon. June 8th, 2012, Sarcey, France. 18-year-old Jew physically assaulted and had a phone stolen by assailants who were shouting anti-Semitic insults. June 2nd, 2012, Lyon. 3 Jewish youth wearing skull caps assaulted while walking to a Jewish school. A group of more than 10 Muslim assailants surrounded the youths chanting "Dirty Jew" and beat them with hammers and bars. March 26, 2012, Paris. A 12-year-old boy was beaten outside the Ozar HaTorah Jewish school in Paris by Arab youths reciting anti-Semitic slogans. March 19, 2012, Toulouse. 4 Jews shot and killed at the Ozar HaTorah Jewish school by an armed Muslim terrorist on a motorcycle. His name, Mohamed Merah. Shall I go on? The fact of the matter is the Holocaust is in its early phases in Europe, and Obama is ignoring it with the big lie, talking about a video made by a shadowy character who lives here and was offensive to Muhammad. Make no mistake about it. They're out to kill all of us. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're focusing on the vile people in the media. And I'm going to ask you something. Who do you think, or who do you despise the most in the media and why? Who is the most deceptive, fraudulent, duplicitous? Who misrepresents the most? Who's the biggest bluffer? Who's the most dishonest? Who is the most treacherous? Who is the most chicane? Who is the biggest dupe? Who is trying to pull humbuggery on you? Who is pulling the greatest hocus pocus in the American people? Who is guilty of being the greatest forger of truth? Who is the greatest rogue in the media? Who is involved in the greatest trickery? Who do you despise the most in the media? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. There's a long list, but you need to tell us why you despise the person so that perhaps we can shame them. Shame them. I doubt it because I don't think they have any shame. I also think that they have such a level of drug, they're drugged to such an extent that even if they heard your insult, they wouldn't care. Flashback. Gallup had Carter up 4 points over Reagan in September of 1980. For those of you who are starting to believe the big lie of Gallup, which is a poll that exists only for the Democrat machine, for those of you who are losing heart because of the liars in the media, let me reassure you that an article came out this last September that was very reassuring by Jim Hoft of the Gateway Pundit. And he said that although Gallup polling today put Obama ahead of Romney by 4 points after the DNC convention where they cursed God and Israel, if you remember, back in 1980, the same duplicitous lying Gallup poll had Jimmy Carter up over Ronald Reagan by 4 points. In mid to late September, it gets even more instructive. And Carter was up 8 points over Ronald Reagan in October. In fact, there was a published Gallup poll showing Carter up 6 among likely voters in a poll conducted October 24th to October 27th. Finally, in the final Gallup survey, they showed that Ronald Reagan only had 47% of the vote. Does that sound familiar, 47%? The same lie that they've come up with about Mitt Romney? Guess what the actual election showed. Reagan won 50.8% of the vote over Jimmy Peanut. And so, listen, Reagan ended up winning by 9 points and taking 44 states, even though the fraudulent, the disgraced, the useless government polling agency, Gallup, which is basically a government polling agency, a Democrat polling agency, in my estimation, says that Obama's up by 4 points. It's a lie. And there's a reason for it. The reason these polls are all wrong is because conservatives usually hang up on people who call them with a poll question, or they're never called at all, or they top load the polls with Democrats or with illegal aliens that they're catching somewhere on the run. And so don't give up so fast. The important thing to remember is you have to vote, and you have to get other people to vote, and you have to motivate some people who say it's not worth it. There's no difference. Oh, yes, there is a difference. I can give you two answers as to why Romney would be better than Obama. You want to hear them? The words are Mitt Romney, as opposed to Hussein Obama. Do I make myself clear? We'll go on. Now, who do you despise the most in the media and why? That's the question. Let's start in New York City on my affiliate in New York, in Manhattan. WOR reaches the entire area, obviously. John in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Rachel Maddow. Not a scintilla of objectivity, snide, sarcastic to the other side. It's only pulling for one side. It's so obvious. It's not funny.
I'll tell you what bothers me about Ray. Ray bothers me not so much for her left-wing bias. She's entitled to that. It's her sophomoric snicker that troubles me. She thinks she's talking to girlfriends in a sorority somewhere where they all are in on the same joke. It is sophomoric. It's boring. It's not a college classroom. It's not a college lounge. They're not just smoking pot and drinking beer. And it's a shame that Jeffrey Immelt doesn't understand that we the people will not buy another light bulb from General Electric if they keep it up. Thanks for the call. Other than that, I have no opinion on Ray. Ray. Old Ray. Good old Ray. 1-800-449. Oh, I got some list. Good names up here now. Some of my favorites are up there. So who do you despise the most in the media and why? Who is the biggest liar? Who grates you the most?
Savvy.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist your voice is calling. 'Tis twilight time. When purple colored curtains mark the end of day.
We are focusing on the, let us say, the most biased media in the history of the United States of America, which is very dangerous. There was a time when there was a sort of right-wing media in this country. That was 50, 60 years ago. I would say just, sorry, I'm showing my age, 1950s, you would say you had a media that was gung-ho love America, gung-ho love the military, gung-ho the police are always right. In other words, the media at that time had everything right. We now have a media that has everything wrong, which is why we have what we have in the White House. And the media lapdogs are in such a state of meltdown that these slobs, these slobbering lapdogs, have no bottom to where they will go. And I don't have an answer for it. I mean, I've used the phrase red diaper doper baby. I knew the phrase red diaper baby when I grew up. I knew who they were. They were kids who were sent to communist camps, mainly in the Poconos of Pennsylvania, by communist parents. And they were inculcated in communist philosophy in camps. So they were called red diaper babies. Their parents were largely union members, mainly the needle trades. The ILGWU had such a camp. And many of their children today are lockstep left-wing fanatics. But I added the other D to it, the RDDB, the red diaper doper baby, because I believe that the disease has metastasized this rapidly, and this completely owing to the inclusion of dope, that is marijuana, into the quotient. And so that's what we have today. And I asked you, who do you despise the most and why? Now, there's enough blame to go around, God only knows, but the treachery of the media is almost satanic in its fiendishness. If you look at what they're doing, they're outright lying. It's hard to comprehend how they hold on to their jobs. So you say, well, their bosses want them to do it. So then you have to ask yourself, why do the bosses of NBC, for example, want the lapdogs on MSNBC to continue lying. Why would they hire a gutter rat like Al Sharpton, an uneducated gutter rat, a man implicated in the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire that killed seven, the man who was involved in a Tawana Brawley scandal where they made up a story about a detective who smeared a black lady with feces. It was all a lie. Why would General Electric get in the gutter with Al Sharpton? You can't figure it out? If he's on the air making over $1 million a year, he's not in the streets protesting outside General Electric headquarters saying, pay your fair share. And the same is true for the rest of them. They're fundamentally puppets of the holding company. But they themselves don't even know it. Or do they? But, you know, that's only one example. Who do you despise the most because of their treachery? I think it's a very important topic because somehow all human beings want to be loved. And most of these liberals need to be loved more than you may imagine. And although you may think they'll sneer or snicker at what you're about to say, it will get back to them. So let's go. Let's take the callers. Let's hear why, though. The question is not so much who do you despise, but why? What do they do that gets you the most? When you see them, I'm talking about someone in the media who actually makes you crazy, that you start to squirm and get angry. You want to break something. That's not. I want someone who viscerally makes you crazy. Who and why? Alabama, Charles, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Let me tell you something. There are three specific instances. When Judy Woodward, when President Bush won the election on CNN, she almost physically cried while reporting it. That she was just in such disbelief.
Well, who? I don't know who Judy Woodward is. Who is she? She's a skinny broad on one of the channels. I don't know who she is.
Yeah. She was on CNN at the time when.
Where is she today? Is she working in a Burger King somewhere?
I'm not exactly sure.
I think she's in the Dan Rather School of Broadcasting somewhere in Texas. So she's marginalized herself not only by her inability to tell the truth from fiction. Who do you find the most obnoxious? Let's put it that way. We're sitting in a bar. We're having a beer. And one guy turns to you and says, you know, blah, 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 media's biased. Which of the liberal media in the media, who gets you the most? Which one? Who gets your goat? Who gets your goat? By the way, you could call about a conservative if you want, if you'd like to. I'm not saying you only have to name liberals. Let's say there's a conservative on that you don't like. You could call it, say, Wallbanger, for example. But you have to say what Wallbanger did and why. First, you have to know who Wallbanger is and know what gets to Wallbanger's soul and why Wallbanger hates Michael Savage and why I'm banned on Fox News. It's not because of Wallbanger. I'm banned from going on Fox News because of the leprechaun. The leprechaun has the thinnest skin in the American media, and he's not a liberal, by the way. The leprechaun actually has a master's degree in psychology. The leprechaun is the only one with an education that I know of in the major conservative media. Most of them are high school dropouts. There's nothing wrong with being a high school dropout, by the way, if you want to open up a chain of beauty parlors. But if you're a high school dropout and you're posing as a man who knows the news, you know, it does present a bit of a problem for people with somewhat of an education, which is why they say, I'm not going to listen to that oaf. I can't believe a word the man says. He never went past the 11th grade. It does matter. Yes, education does matter. And I think that seriously affects the credibility of conservatives, especially those in radio, honestly. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's true. And it's a sensitive issue because many listeners to this show are themselves high school educated. My father, by the way, only went to high school. So I don't put education per se above intelligence. Don't get me wrong. But there are people who are intelligent who are highly educated. Then there are people who are uneducated who are not that intelligent, who just got very lucky. Wallbanger, for example, began as a fill-in for Rush, and the rest is history. And now he thinks he's a genius. So who do you not like the most? Here's one of my favorites, Stephen Sacramento. Go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation.
It's actually a guy that fills in for the Shillelagh from time to time, but most of the time they bring him on for debates. His name is Juan Williams. Apparently,
oh, God.
From Cuba when he
oh,
was
my God. Is he's an embarrassment.
He sits there and rolls his eyes. He shakes his head no all the time, and he scrunches his face every time a conservative is talking on the other side when they have the split.
Yeah. Well, Juan Williams is...
He is.
That's about says it all. He looks like he's struggling maximum 40 watts with full current running through his base. No, I'm serious. I mean, what do you want from the guy? It was all he was given. That's all he got at the get-go. He was given a 40 water inside the brain between the ears. So you can't expect more out of him. He's dumb. Get here. I'm not qualified. God, thank you for being good to me. Here's another one that's on my favorite list. Yakima, Washington. Yak, 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 don't talk back. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I gotta go with Al Sharpton, and I'll tell you why. I know that you brought him up already. But, you know, he's propped up as if he knows something, and he's so obviously unintelligent when he speaks. What disgusts me most is the hordes of people that believe the junk that he spews.
Well, you have to look at his past. They call him Reverend Sharpton, yet no one knows if he actually has earned a degree in theology. I believe it was granted to him when he was 5 years old from a storefront somewhere in Benson-Stuyvesant. Number two, he was involved in a Tawana Brawley lie about Detective Pagonis, which I've never forgotten, the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire. He was a rent-a-mobber. How in the world could anyone take that man seriously is beyond me. But again, you have to understand why Jeffrey Immelt of GE told his stooge at NBC to hire him. If he's in a studio, how could he be protesting outside GE headquarters? You understand? It's a safe place to keep him locked.
I mean, I guess he is on MSNBC.
In other words, if you're GE and you're not paying taxes because you all have 1,000 accountants, many of whom worked for the IRS, and they've come up with one loophole after another, and you hear this guy screaming about the rich should pay more, and you're laughing all the way to the bank because you're not paying taxes, wouldn't you rather have him inside a studio with hot lights on him where you know where he is rather than out in the street with a rent-a-mob?
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's all. You see, you have to understand how these things work. You have to see how it works. It's all economic. It's economic, that's all. They got a guy, he's locked up in the studio. At least they know where he is for a certain number of hours a day. He's not outside Jeffrey Immelt's house, for example. He's not outside the limo with, hey, hey, ho, ho, fair taxes have got to go. Hey, hey, you know what I'm saying? He's in the studio. They probably get him to give speeches around junior high schools afterwards to know where he is after school. Here's one on the other side if you think I'm being unfair. Victorville, April, you're on the Savage Nation. Who do you find the most obnoxious in the media?
Bill O'Reilly. And I tell you, you want to talk about throwing something at the TV almost every night when I watch the show, I get so aggravated because he says that he's an independent. Well...
Wait, I'm sorry, I missed it. He says he's a what?
He says he's an independent.
He says he's a towel attendant?
No, independent.
Oh, a pool attendant. O'Reilly does look like he would be a good pool attendant. All right, but go on. I'm just pulling your leg. He says he's a pool attendant, and?
And he just doesn't tell the whole truth. And then when he gets all these people on there to interview them, he doesn't tell the whole truth. And he gets up there. Somebody the other day said that Obama was a Muslim, and he wanted to dispute that. And, I mean, Obama himself says he's a Muslim.
Yes, in fact, to prove that, Beowulf, we have the tape from when Obama was running when he slipped and said he's a Muslim and he was corrected by George Stepp on all of us. Listen to this.
You are absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith, and you're absolutely right that has not
Christian
come
faith.
My Christian faith.
See, so here's the president in 08 slipping and saying my Muslim faith, and the ambidextrous George Stepp on all of us with his Janus face comes out and says Christian faith. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. And
so you think that Bill O'Reilly is Janus faced?
Well, he's something. He's
all right. Thank you for the call. You see, I'm trying to throw in a little higher level of literacy into the show since I'm criticizing people in the media. I figure I don't have to hide my PhD and my 28 book background. In fact, maybe I'll start to use bigger words. We'll go from 2 to 3 syllables to show liberals to show liberals that we can use the lingo as well. I like ambidextrous Janice face, don't you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
As the president said last night, the president has to be the president of all the people. This unfortunately demonstrated the demeaning attitude that Governor Obama has toward a large segment of the American people.
Oh, I've had some stomach cramps over the last 5 days. And, you know, the only relief I had was last night playing Pelosi. So each day we're going to, Dr. Savage is going to play a little Pelosi for us so we can have a national laugh. The woman doesn't even know that, she called him Governor Obama. Let's put it that way, in reference to Romney. But look, you know, it gets complicated after a while. You know, when you're balancing hammers with solar plants and contracts for nothing and bridges to nowhere, it's hard to remember who the governor is and who the president is. You know, there's a lot to balance when you go on to NBC's Today Show with the bald one. You know, he ought to get a toupee. His ratings are about the level of where his hair is at. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, Media Lapdogs. It's a new level of embarrassment. So the last refuge of the scoundrel is the media, as you well know, and hiding behind the television set, leg crossing, makeup, lights, stooges that say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to everything you do. And you never actually see the audience who's laughing at you, mocking you, or not watching you. And so consequently, the only power I have over these people is to have you, the people, tell them through my show, through the radio, through the microphone, who you despise the most and why. Because some of this, you don't know how this works. I do. You say, look, I'm mentioning their names. They're never going to hear it. What you don't know is they are going to hear it. For example, the woman just called, and I thought she was referring to O'Reilly as a, I thought a towel boy or an, I don't know, she independent. I said pool attendant. What's going to happen is he'll hear that this woman hated him and it was on the Michael Savage show. Now, why? Why will he hear that? Why will Anderson Cooper hear it or Chris Matthews or the others you're mentioning? They won't hear it through their enemies. They're going to hear it through their, quote, friends. People who actually despise them, who pretend they're their friends, will come to them like Brutus and say, you know, I heard something terrible said about you the other day on the Michael Savage show. And they say, I don't want to hear it. They say, well, you have to hear what they said. And then the Janice-faced individual that we're talking about will realize that the mirage that they put out is just a myth in their own mind, that no one believes it. One day they will come to understand that the mirage they're putting out is not being accepted by the masses of people. And we're all in danger. The reason I'm doing this is not out of petty jealousy. We are in such danger, not only of the collapse of this society, but the collapse of Western civilization itself. Radical Islam is at war with the West. They don't want to live in the 20th, 19th, 18th, 17th, 16th, 15th, 14th century. They're very happy beating their wives, putting them in burqas, mutilating them, genitally mutilating them, and burning synagogues and cursing Jews and Christians. It suits their temperament. And so if you think otherwise, you're living in a dream world. It's never going to change. The fact of the matter is, there's a big story about a cartoon or someone put out a video and they went berserk, right? That's the cover story. Do you have any idea what is published every day in Arab newspapers? Do you have any idea what symbols of Jewish stars and American flags and crosses, in what derogatory forms they are presented in the so-called Muslim world? Have you any idea how they spit on the Bible, spit on Christians, spit on Jews, spit on the American flag? Have you any idea that they have been at war with you from the time you were born? Have you no idea what you're facing? No, you don't. Because it's been purged from your schools, your school books, your textbooks. It's been purged from your universities. It's been purged from virtually everywhere. For example, here's the president going on the television show Letterman, and he says, here's what happened. You had a video made by a shadowy character. Again, the big lie, when his own State Department now is coming around to the reality. Okay, 1-800-449-8255. Now, here's Romney, the embarrassment. You know that I have a real problem with him. I had Trump on yesterday, and even Trump was shocked. Here is Romney acting like a big idiot. He's going on The View again to talk to the, if you want to call them, women. He's going to go and get beaten up again by these women, thinking he's going to change one vote, while he lets 8 to 20 million votes on the Savage Nation sit there saying, what is he thinking? Why does he hate us? Why won't he come and talk to us? Why? I don't have any answer. I don't even care. I'm trying to tell you something here. If Romney is that stupid that for the third time he'll go on a show called The View, and he will not come on this show, which trumps it in ratings by about a factor of 10, what does that tell you about Romney's advisors? It tells you that Michael's right. It tells you that his advisors are Brutuses. It tells you that everything I've been hearing from people who know is true, that Romney's advisors, some of them voted for Obama, some of them worked for Democrats and will work for Democrats after the election. And it tells us that Romney himself is either naive or surrounded by people who are very naive or worse. Surely you would think by now, with Donald Trump telling him to come on the show, others saying, are you crazy? What are you doing going back on The View, that he would listen to someone? But the answer is no. And so, yes, we have to take the lesser of two evils as a choice. Romney is a Republican in name only. Or shall I say today, sort of a Rockefeller Republican, Country Club Republican. We've talked about it. Check pants Republican. In other words, he's a middle of the roader. We understand that. But he can't get elected by playing this game. He cannot get elected unless he appeals to the conservative base. And the only way to do that is to continue saying it like it is and coming on shows like this one to try to sell himself to you. You. It's not about me. I'm way past caring about my ratings.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Boom and open with me again, boom. Ding dong, ding dong, a lang, a lang, a lang. Oh, 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 pip, a bib, a rob, a dib. Oh, life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true.
It is Michael Savage, America's body armor against the liberal lies. Welcome to the Savage Nation. That is not a bad idea I just came up with. I am the body armor for liberal eyes, trying to save the body politic from any more shrapnel. The Media Lapdogs in Hot Pursuit of the Wrong Story is a great, great article by Charles Hurt, where he writes, we're in the midst of witnessing right now is a complete Fukushima-style meltdown of the mainstream media. Without these slobbering lapdogs, President Obama never would have been elected in the first place, and now they are his only hope for staying in office amid all the global violence, a morbidly paralyzed economy, and a national crisis of confidence so profound the American dream has become nothing more than quaint fiction for millions. Years after Obama promised to ease Arab hatred of America, the Middle East burns hotter than ever. Polls show America has never been more deeply despised. Respected newspapers around the world report that the Obama administration was explicitly warned days before the attack on the American consulate in Libya, in which our ambassador was brutally killed. Yet, but the big lie goes on. I want you to listen to the president on a television show the other night in clip 20. Listen carefully.
The ambassador to Libya killed in an attack on the consulate in Benghazi.
Right.
Is this an act of war? Are we at war now?
No.
What happens here?
Well, here's what happened. You had a video that was released by somebody who lives here, sort of a shadowy character, who is an extremely offensive video directed at Muhammad and Islam.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
Making fun of the Prophet
Muhammad. Suddenly Letterman, the atheist, is the Prophet Muhammad. He's a prophet now. How about the Prophet Jesus? Or the Prophet Abraham, the Prophet Isaac? No. Only reserved, again, for the one religion. It's unbelievable to me. But even that lie of Obama, that we had a video, even they're retracting this now. Administration just admitted that Benghazi's attack was a terrorist event. Not only that, Mr. Obama, but it's come out that the instigator of the killing of our ambassador was released by you from Guantanamo prison. Yeah, that's right. That's right. As I said to you, liberalism is a mental disorder. Intelligence sources now believe attack in Libya is tied to Al-Qaeda. One key player was released from Guantanamo and handed over to Libyans. Thank you, liberals. The same liberals who would like to try the terrorists in New York City are now not even admitting that those they released from Guantanamo. Not only have we known for months that many of them go back to terrorism, they're the worst of the worst. They should have been executed at Guantanamo. There should be an electric chair at Guantanamo, not a soccer field. There should be a guillotine at Guantanamo, not a softball field. And instead of giving them halal meals, you should be giving them something else. But no, the liberal way, of course, is to cater to the murderer, cater to the terrorist, cater to the mass murderer, cater to the rapist. Administration just admitted that the Benghazi act of murder of our ambassador was a terrorist attack. And this is only a few days after the president himself came out and said it was about a video. It's unbelievable to me. And it's hard to understand how he gets away with this other than that we have the worst media in the history of the United States of America. And that brings us back to the question of the day, which I've been asking you. Who do you despise the most in the media, and why? And when I say despise, I mean when you see him or her, who makes you crazier? Which is the most Janus-faced of the bunch? Who creates such anger in you that you start to foam, that you rage, that you try to tell your wife you can't look at him or her anymore, and no one wants to hear you? Your dog walks away from you. When you start to rage when you see one of them talk, you go crazy, you change the channel. You lose your appetite. You can't smoke a cigar for hours afterwards. You can't even have a drink. Which one of these ambidextrous fools, in other words, gets your goat the most and why? And the important part of the question is why. Now, the reason I'm performing this stunt today on the Savage Nation is to hope in some way these criticisms of the vermin in the media will get back to them. And maybe the media lapdogs will be so embarrassed. Who knows? But you know, some of them are actually married. I know you find it hard to believe, but some of them actually have a wife somewhere and they're a husband, which means that somewhere they have a child, usually a grown child, or by now some of them may have a grandchild. And what often happens is that the grandchild or child is often not liberal. They are usually the opposite of the parent or grandparent, whether it's rebellion or realism, it's hard to say. So it could be that your criticism, for example, of one of them, one of these shadowy figures in the media, who works for one of the many corporations that own the government media complex, your criticism of one of these shadowy figures in the media could be brought up to that person by their granddaughter. You never know what could happen. You have no idea what happens when you speak, because when you speak, people hear you. If you had any idea how vast my audience is, I don't think you understand that I'm the author of 6 best-selling New York Times books in a row. Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, including my first novel, Abuse of Power. Now, I'm boasting about it. You know why? Because nobody else will. And if I'm not for myself, who will be? Nobody. So the fact of the matter is, you can read anything you want about me, but most of it is not true. But what is true is what you're hearing. It is a very large audience. It's a very dedicated audience. It's a highly educated audience. I have probably the highest, most. I remember when I used to do local radio, they did demographics of talk radio. And at that time, the demographics of my show were such that I pulled the highest income earners. At the time, it was $75,000 a year or more, which is very high for radio listeners, incidentally. Most radio listeners are in the bottom 47%, in that they have a lot of spare time. They don't work for a living. They have nothing to do. Because most people who have something to do, truthfully, don't listen to the radio. I know it's hard to believe. It's really a quagmire that you fall into in radio, is that the people that you want to listen to you can't because they're working, or won't because they're too busy. And so what you get are the Obama voters who are not sure of themselves, and they listen to conservative radio. And after about 6 weeks of hating me, they start to say, you know, he's right. I actually agree with him, but I'm voting for Obama anyway. Because where else am I going to get a food stamp from? Where else am I going to get the money to go gamble in Atlantic City unless I vote in a Democrat? So it's futile in a way, and I understand that. So let's go to the matter at hand. And by the way, I'm not limiting it to the to liberals. If you don't like somebody on the other side of the aisle, you got to call us and tell us why. I'll take the call. We already I thought the woman said he was a pool attendant, but she said he's an independent. I said, do you mean pool attendant? She said, no, independent. I said, you mean towel attendant? She said, no, independent. Because we can have fun with it just as well. So who gets your goat the most and why? Let's go to Jim in Atlanta, Georgia. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation. Who is it that bothers you the most in the media?
What a pleasure. You know, we get talk radio down here on WGST. They cut the signal at 6 o'clock, so I usually listen to you on web radio. I can carry it around in my pocket and get you really all through the night up until midnight.
Well, I got to tell you this. I have to insert the fact that I'm number two in the country on web radio, which is very interesting, but that means my audience is probably closer to 20 million people, but a week, by the way. Go ahead. So which one don't you like the most and why?
Well, this guy got his start here in Atlanta, I think on the same station that carries your program. He had a morning talk show, and I think you call him the wall banger.
Now, okay, yeah. So why? No, Wallbanger hates me in a way that I hear from people. He actually turns red and becomes apocalyptic. I heard that he won't talk to people who like me.
I love you. I'm telling you, I look forward to your show every day.
Well, then I can guarantee you that Wallbanger's not coming to your next barbecue.
Well, down here, he was called or known as Hanny Pie the Tin Man. And he hated that moniker. He got that moniker by one of the other talk show hosts on the same network.
Hanny Pie? Hanny Pie the Tin Man?
Hanny Pie the Tin Man.
But why would they call this Mephistopheles Hanny Pie?
I don't know. It was just a nickname that this other talk show host gave to him.
I would think that I would say that the moniker Hanny Pie is something he could relate to, but if you call him Mephistophelian, he wouldn't know what you were saying, so Hanny Pie would work.
He got mad as the dickens every time the other talk show host would call him Hanny Pie the Tin Man.
But are you yourself a liberal or a conservative, Jim?
I'm a ultra-conservative. I used to teach a constitutional course back before there was ever a Tea Party. We had a Tea Party in Atlanta back in the 1980s. I used to teach people their rights, how to protect their rights, the importance of our founding fathers.
So wait a minute. So you are skeptical of individuals who wrap themselves in the flag a bit too much? What is it about that type of individual that sort of triggers your disgust?
Well, first of all, let me just preface this by saying I don't watch TV anymore when it comes to the news. I turned off. You know, CNN, the Commie News Network, got their start in Atlanta with Ted Turner. I met Ted Turner years ago before he...
See, I don't call it the Communist News Network. I call it the Crescent News Network because of their slavishness to Islam.
Well, you know, I've got a history with talk show, and I don't watch TV anymore except for the Leprechaun.
But let's stay on the track. What is it about Tin Man that you don't like?
Having listened to him, you know, get his start here in Atlanta, he was pretty good. But when he was such an avid pronouncer for the buildup of the war in Iraq, he was almost rabid.
Oh, yes. Listen, that's absolutely true. And you can't say that about me.
every day. He was talking about WMDs, weapons of mass destruction, Donald Rumsfeld this, Donald Rumsfeld that. It was like, you know, you could see the blood vessels popping in his head. And then, you know, I was never in favor.
Well, look, the fact is, without bashing him, he has become sort of the god of sleep today. Hanny Pie is like Morpheus on television. And so you have to have pity on him. I thank you for the call, my friend. That's on the other side of the aisle. Now we'll go back to... Oh, here's one. Yeah, this is a good one. I got names up here that you won't believe. I personally think that if you can't get through because... Look, when we bash people in the media, the lights go on because a lot of you are media fanatics and you can't take it anymore. You literally can't. And here you are listening to Michael Savage. I can guarantee you many of you would like to say it's you, USOB. Many of you like to go and say, I'll tell you who I hate the most. It's you, you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about the worst of the worst in the media, but I'm going to take a diversion for a minute. Who will get top jobs in a Romney administration? Just came out in the Foreign Policy Press. It's actually frightening. You want to hear some of the names? National Security Transitions Chief is former World Bank President Bob Zoellick. Can you believe this? A Clintonite. Former Senator Jim Talent, Defense Secretary. Or possibly former Navy Secretary John Layman. For Secretary of State, Joe Lieberman. Let's see who else. Zoellick, as you well know, is a longtime Clintonite. He could also wind up the head of the CIA or the head of the national security positions. A dark horse candidate under Romney for state would be CIA Director David Petraeus. That's the one, right? How about some other names? Romney might go for retired General Jack Keane as National Security Advisor. Well, that would be who Obama picked, the girl from a college class. Then there are other rumored names. Let's see. Romney's NSA, Eric Edelman, never heard of him. Elliot Abrams, never heard of him. Mitchell Reese, never heard of him. Dan Senior, never heard of him. See, these are all policy people in the background, the types that are interchangeable between administrations. They live for this. How about former Undersecretary of State John Bolton? Why is he not getting any play by Romney? That's very interesting. The answer is because Romney, as I said to you, is a middle of the roader. Romney is a Rockefeller Republican. Romney is, at the end of the day, and I'm going to vote for him. I told you that. I mean, I'm not mincing words. I am biased. It's anyone but a communist of... who's done the damage to this country that Obama has done on every level. Romney is a very clear choice of the Council on Foreign Relations. Romney is a very clear choice of all of the other internationalist groups that we all fear and despise, rightly so, because they're anti-nationalist. They're anti-American. They don't believe in borders, language, or culture. That's the absolute truth and reality. It's very difficult for me to say this to you. But it begs the question of why, for example, is Donald Trump not being mentioned in any of these discussions? Here's a bigger question. Why didn't Trump get chosen by the Republican Party? First of all, do you think he would have taken the job? We all know he would have beaten Obama by probably 10 to 20 points. There's no question even poor people would vote for Trump. You don't understand that about poor people. It's not what the media will tell you. Most poor people actually trust rich people to be their president more than poor people. See, I was once very poor. I don't mean I was homeless. I was never homeless. But I was poor. By today's standards, I was poor. I rode the bus. I had no car. I held two jobs, etc. I won't go down the list. And when I was poor and I was living in New York City as a social worker, I remember voting for I forget who the candidate was. He was sort of a rich man. And I said I would choose him over a poor candidate. And they said, well, why? You don't have any money. I said, because he's made his fortune and I trust that he's not going to rob the treasury as much as a poor guy who is still out for his fortune. That's how I thought as a young man. I still think that way, incidentally. And the only question is, well, there's 100 questions that can be spun off that one. But since I'm in the talk business, I'll take a break before I spin off into 13 other areas. Who do you hate the most in the media and why? Let's stick to brass tacks.
Seven.
Big news of the day is that the one of the top Obama officials is saying that the Libyan attack was a terrorist attack, and it's probably tied to someone released from Guantanamo. This comes on the heels of Susan Rice embarrassing herself all over the weekend, saying it was because of the Mohammed film, and Obama going on Letterman saying it was the Mohammed film. It's an embarrassment to have an administration as flat-footed as this, and most people know this. At least that's what I think. Now let's go back to the callers on the Savage Nation with the topic at hand, which is who in the media riles you the most and why. Let's go back to WOR in New York City. Vito, who's your candidate for the worst?
Dr. Savage, it's got to be, for me, hands down, Chris Matthews. If I was ever in a bar with him, I would have to leave because I would give him a blanket party.
A blanket party. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I think it's violent, isn't it?
Somewhat. It's a Brooklyn term. But he is such a degenerate. I feel that he is like looking underneath Obama, looking up at Obama like he's some kind of god, and it disgusts me.
Here's the thing about Chris Matthews: you got to recognize he was a party operative for years for the Democrat Party. What more do you need to know? He's part of the government media complex. NBC hired him specifically to tout Democrat Party issues because that's the game they play. NBC is owned by the Democrat Party, and they made a trade-off. We won't tax you if you don't attack us. So, in other words, don't take him seriously. He's just a party spokesman, like many of them. You know, you may not like some on the other side, but I don't know anyone on the conservative side that ever worked for the Republican Party except Karl Rove. Okay, let me ask you this, Vito. Who don't you like on the other side?
Who don't I like on the other side? Well, I got to agree with you on the leprechaun. I think he's a hypocrite. And, well, we also know his little indiscretions with the ladies there also.
What, you still hold the loofah incident against him?
I don't hold it against him. I just lost interest in the things he was saying years ago.
Well, I mean, that's what he held against the women was a loofah.
Lufa, you know, also getting back to Chris Matthews, he wrote a book on Ted Kennedy. My uncle used to run the COPA back in the 60s, and I don't want to tell you the stories that they used to tell me about Ted Kennedy coming in there to be serviced by the Spanish girls. I mean, it was disgusting.
Oh, so you're from a nightclub background. That's what you mean by a blanket.
Yeah, blanket party's the term where the guy doesn't see you and he gets his lights put out, you know? I mean, I'm much more sophisticated.
Wait, hold on. I think your daughter, is that your granddaughter or your daughter telling you to not say such a thing on radio?
Actually, that is my 5-year-old son, Dr. Savage, that is in the New York City school system that I have to re-educate because he comes home from school and tells me that President Obama is a great man and he's going to give me a house.
How do you think Obama got elected? 30 years of propaganda where every hero looked like Obama. Every general in a movie, Obama. Every surgeon in a movie looked like Obama or Michelle Obama. Every judge was someone who looked like Obama or Michelle Obama. So 30 years of brainwashing from the film industry, and suddenly you elect someone who looks like the fictional character who's a hero. And there we are. And you have a Fugazi in the White House.
It's going on, Doctor. I deal with it every day here in New York City.
No, it's not easy. Now, if I sent you a free copy of my bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, would you appreciate that for the election?
It would beyond be appreciation. It would go on my mantle of my house.
All right, you're getting a free copy sent down. In fact, they will get the names from now on. Every caller to this show, as long as I can remember, right? I've had some health issues, minor ones, but they've knocked me out for a couple of days. If I go into them, you'll laugh about them. You're not supposed to talk about it, but it's frightening when these things happen. Nothing serious, but, you know, even sometimes the unserious complications can panic you. I mean, you can get a... I know if I say it to you, then it'll lead to, like, weeks of jokes in the media. I don't want to say it. And I'm not going to do it. I can't divulge it. Let's put it this way. I had a scare. Okay, let's leave it at that. Let's...
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Big one is that tomorrow night is the primary in Florida, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm reviewing today a new HBO series with Dustin Hoffman called Luck. My headline is No Luck with Luck. Ratso Rizzo returns on HBO. It was horrible. It was horrible. There's Ratso Rizzo 40 years later playing a noble gangster, which is nonsense. I don't know why Dustin Hoffman thinks he can get away with this. Nor do I know why men from his background continuously try to be gangsters in movies. Do you agree with the Boston Globe, who called Dustin Hoffman's character on the HBO series a crook with the soul of an accountant? Well, most of you don't have HBO, so let's ask you this question. We've been talking about it. Do you think Hollywood is broken because 60s hippies like Dustin Hoffman still run the show with their warped, childish attitudes? Why do you think Hollywood is so anti-American? Why do you think Hollywood is so anti-family? And who is the least convincing actor playing a gangster that you've seen in the last 30 years? Dustin Hoffman, Warren Beatty, or who? These are some of the questions we've been covering on The Savage Nation. Now, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, and sound bites are worth a thousand pictures, which means they're worth 100 words. Today on The Savage Nation, we have a McNulty in called Luck.
A man gets out of jail 3 years, maybe takes a trip to some island somewhere. You get out a month, buy a piece of my racetrack.
I admit I'm halfway nervous.
You think you're the first front in history?
I think, Mr. Bernstein, something personal is going on here.
Some people lying is like breathing. Good luck.
I always want to wonder if you might be pissed off.
You suspect me? I take a fall protecting how many people?
Everyone appreciates what you did, Ace.
You got qualms?
Absolutely not.
You want to toss me? 3 years!
I don't trust anyone, not even myself.
You don't know how special you are, do you? How you can run.
Florida Republican Representative Alan West tells Harry Reid, Pelosi, and Obama to get the hell out of the USA. This is amazing. Thank God someone says it. West, a combat veteran, says this is a battlefield that we must stand upon, and we need to let President Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and the chairman of the Democrat National Committee, that vile creature from Florida, those are my words, he said we need to let them know that Florida is not on the table. Take your message of equality of achievement, take your message of economic dependency, and take your message of enslaving the entrepreneurial will and spirit of the American people somewhere else. You can take it to Europe, you can take it to the bottom of the sea, you can take it to the North Pole, but get the hell out of the United States of America, said Alan West, a congressman from Florida.
This is a battlefield that we must stand upon, and we need to let President Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and my dear friend, the chairman of the Democrat National Committee, we need to let them know that Florida ain't on the table. Take your message of equality of achievement
take your message of economic dependency, take your message of enslaving the entrepreneurial will and spirit of the American people somewhere else. You can take it to Europe, you can take it to the bottom of the sea, you can take it to the North Pole, but get the hell out of the United States of America.
Leaders from Oakland, California are outraged by the vandalization and violence of the Occupy protests and the lack of response by the useless mayor.
Mayor Gene Kwan walked news crews through Oakland's vandalized City Hall in the aftermath of Saturday's Occupy Oakland blitz.
The irony of this room is this is the room where we have our new homeowner program. This like help low-income people get housing, and we will have experts on Monday in here checking to make sure that our fire alarm system still works. So they cut the wires in the electrical box here.
Vandals forced open City Hall doors, Kwan says, and ransacked what they could in a quick hit and run.
But this is probably the saddest damage. We got this to the museum. We think this was the original architect's model. So this is over 100 years old. It's pretty badly damaged.
Apparently, the chairman of the RNC was listening to the Savage Nation, and he compared President Obama to the Italian cruise ship captain.
In a few months, this is all going to be ancient history, and we're going to talk about our own little Captain Scatino, which is President Obama, who's abandoning the ship here in the United States and is more interested in campaigning than doing his job as president.
What did you just say? What did you call President Obama?
I called him Captain Scatino, you know, the captain that fled the ship in Italy. That's our own president who's fleeing the American people and not doing his job and running around the country and campaigning.
The most incendiary Democrat, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, said comparing Obama to the cruise ship captain is incendiary and he should apologize.
This is a person who's been, the captain of the Costa Concordia has been charged with manslaughter.
Right.
And for the RNC chairman to compare the president of the United States to someone who's been charged with manslaughter shows a dramatic level of insensitivity to the families of those victims. Unbelievable comparison. I'm not going to give any credence to those incendiary remarks.
Do you think that he shouldn't have been compared to the cruise ship captain? I don't. Senator John Dodo McCain said, "We've got to stop the debates." I guess someone finally got the whole. He was busy going from show to show. Old John McCain woke up 6 months after old Savage.
We've got to stop the debates. Enough with the debates. Because they are driving up our candidates, all of them, unfavorabilities. We've had enough of that. They've turned into a mud wrestling instead of exposition of the candidates' views on the issues. We've had enough of that. And it's time to recognize who the real adversary is, and that's not each other.
Then, of course, there was Newt Gingrich, the sourpuss on Fox News. I won't even say what he said. Then there was old Ron Paul clinking along there, following his neurons trailing him. On some show or other. So that's some of the sound we had today. But, I mean, there's a lot more we've been talking about. And we can continue to do so by going to michaelsavage.com together. Top left, Obama, the most polarizing president ever. Who said it? Washington Post. Not me. Top right, Alan West, the liberals, take your message and get the hell out. Good for you, Congressman West. DNC chair, the deranged, hysterical, angry, DNC chair says comparing Obama to the cruise captain is incendiary. What does she mean by that? You mean what Obama says is not incendiary? Egyptian Islamists are building on their overtaking of the Egyptian government. Remember John Corzine, Obama's good friend, Democrat. MF Global client money feared gone. That's only $1.2 billion missing. He's still not been indicted for this, or rather even arrested. He's a Democrat, you see. Is global warming done? Scientists now predict a mini ice age. 200 laid off at North Las Vegas solar plant just after months after Obama visited. I guess it served its purpose like agitprop in the Soviet Union. College presidents call Obama's campaign promises baloney. Old Biden says he was against the Bin Laden raid. I guess he figured the SEALs couldn't use water guns over there.
Savage.
Oh,
Life is a series of terrors with an occasional plateau of happiness and beauty. If anyone tells you it's the other way around, they're lying to you or they're drug addicts. Life is terrifying. You know what real life is? It's a holy terror. That's why you're born screaming and you die screaming. Do you understand that? Do you understand that, mister? That life is not what the teacher told you. Life is not what these freaks in America are trying to teach your children. Life is a nightmare. It's horrible. That's why you're born screaming. That's why you die screaming. But occasionally, as I said, there is a brief respite here and there. I had one last night. And the tougher you make your kid, the happier your kid's going to be. And the tougher you raise the kid, the happier his life is going to be. And the softer you make your son, the worse his life is going to be. The softer you make your son, the more he's going to be stepped on and turned into a worm. We had a heat wave out here in Northern California for 3 days, 3-4 days, and that's what it comes like. And, you know, you live with it. I got air conditioning. I remember when I first moved out here, oh, no, we don't have air conditioning out in these parts. Our fog is on natural air conditioning. Yeah, all right, you're smart, are you smoking? I don't know about you, but I can't take the heat. So I got air conditioning in every house I own. I can turn it into a refrigerator wherever I am. We used to call it Indian summer, but we're not allowed to call it that anymore, so we'll call it Native American summer. We had a Native American summer night. Hot, beautiful. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to fire up the old 65 Caddy convertible. And strangely enough, I bought this car in 1994 when I started in radio. It had 52,000 miles on it. It's red. It's 19 feet, 6 inches long. You know, it's from an era in America that I can remember very well. My father was still alive. It was a different world, right? The windows are almost a half an inch thick on the car. But I keep it in the garage. I never drive it, right? I keep a battery charge, trickle charger. Of all the cars you own, I mean, I own some exotic cars, I got to tell you. I'm not here to boast about them, but I do. I'm a machinery lover. It's funny. I mean, given my background and my orientation towards nature, I still love machinery. In that, I'm a true American in that sense. I grew up in the age of the machine and the engine, and I still love engines. I'm not apologizing about it. In fact, all the freaks who bicycle around here all bring their bikes around with machines and engines. But let's not go there, okay? So I get the car. I bring it down to the house. I have it in the garage. And, you know, I have a dog, Teddy, a 10, 12-pound poodle. He's played as Eddie in my novel, Abuse of Power. He's the show dog. He's the clown. He's 7 years old. He's the joy of my life. She's about 5 years old and, like, does nothing for you. Everything is take, take, take. She's like a bad sister-in-law, you know what I'm saying? Or a relative you left behind in Brooklyn. Bitter, nasty, always subisoner, you know, nothing good to say, always sitting at, and she's nasty. All she wants is food. But we like her, and we take care of her. Teddy's the show dog. She's the dummy. You know how, like, for a horse, you get a goat. Tasha was got to be Teddy's goat, but she doesn't even do that right. All she does is, like, sit around. So I get a surprise last night. I honked the horn to pick up Mrs. S, and she says, I have a surprise for you. I said, what? She said, I got a new dog. I said, oh, God, no. So she got a Havanese. And she named it Toby. So now there's Teddy, Tasha, and Toby. So I said, what am I going to do, get mad? She got a dog? I don't even know what a Havanese is. I said, why not another small? Never mind, I got a Havanese. They're cutest little thing. They're from Cuba, native to Cuba, which is good because I love Cuban music. And this is, of course, way before the communists destroyed Cuba. There was a nation called Cuba. It's thought that the dogs came from the Canary Islands. Sabor. El son te llama a bailar, a gozar. Okay, good. Beautiful cutting, guys. You're the best.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's all the news that you need from MichaelSavage.com. You're not going to believe what I'm about to read to you. In Washington, D.C., the district has decided to set new goals over the next 5 years, achievement goals for students based on race and income. And they will be lower, I repeat, lower, for black, Hispanic, and poor children than they are for white and Asian students. Can you believe this? Can you believe that the world is upside down under Barry Obama? It's beyond comprehension that they would make the targets lower. How is this possible? It's beyond comprehension. Yet, this is what's going on. A mother said it's disgraceful. It's ridiculous to even believe that if you expect less from someone, you're going to get more. FDA tests find arsenic in rice. Must be coming from our friends in China. Romney, according to Gallup, has support among lowest income voters. How do you like that? No matter what Obama does. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Well, let's go together and look. France is closing 20 embassies in fear of a cartoon. 4 injured in a Paris bombing of a Jewish kosher butcher store. Obamacare tax to hit 6 million mostly middle class Americans, as I told you. You hear? What did I tell you? Did I tell you Obama was targeting the middle class? It's in trickle-down tyranny. This is a laugh of all laughs. You're not going to believe this. Obama went to a fundraiser with some rapper named Jay-Z. There was a floor-to-ceiling tower of $800 gold champagne bottles. But he's for the poor, don't you know? He's for the poor. It's beyond comprehension. Let's go to the rest of the website. MichaelSavage.com. By the way, if you sign up for my newsletter, it's free. Hitlerism back in France, Islamist bomb kosher store. Leon Panetta tells Chinese the U.S. is not trying to contain them. No kidding. Here's the incredible audio we gathered for you today on the Savage Nation. Here's Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta telling the Chinese military in China that we're not trying to contain them.
Our rebalance to the Asia-Pacific region is not an attempt to contain China.
Well, of course we're not. We can't.
It is an attempt to engage China and expand its role in the Pacific.
Here's Panetta talking with the Vice President of China.
Our purpose in being able to strengthen our presence in this region is to promote greater prosperity, to promote greater security in the Asia-Pacific region.
A black father of a murdered teen urges Governor Brown to veto an illegal bill. What does illegals bill mean? It means Governor Brown wants to release Hispanic prisoners into the population so more of them can kill. One of the best articles is from Brett Decker from the Washington Times. It's The Myth of the Romney Incompetence. It's worth reading. I'm going to read it on the air. Also on my website, Charles Hurt wrote a great column. Media lapdogs in hot pursuit of the wrong story. He says a complete Fukushima-style meltdown of the mainstream media. David Letterman, if he had any guts and brains, he would get up in the morning and he would quit. Romney says we believe in free people and free enterprise in response to a tape of Obama advocating redistribution. Jeffrey Katzenberg of Katzenberg, Katzenberg, and Matzenberg. Well, take a look at the story about him. It's on MichaelSavage.com. Apparently has a good deal going with Obama. New Holocaust Emerging in Europe, put together by Beowulf for the Savage Nation. What is it? Well, first you have to know what Kristallnacht is. It was referred to as the Night of Broken Glass. It was coordinated attacks against Jews throughout Nazi Germany and Austria on November 9th, 10th, 1938, carried out by early Nazis and civilians. German authorities looked on without intervening. It was the beginning of the Holocaust, the beginning of the final solution. Today, four injured after bomb explosion at kosher store in Paris. August 7th, 2012. July 20th, 2012. July 5th, 2012. June 8th, 2012. I can go on and on, but the fact of the matter is there have been Jews attacked regularly in France. And it's going on just as it did in Germany after Kristallnacht. Read about it. See if I'm making it up. Share it with your friends, especially those intelligent Jews who are going to vote for Obama again. Four jihadi attacks in Benghazi, Libya, in the months before the Ambassador Stevens was killed and sodomized. But of course, Obama didn't notice that. He was busy partying with Beyonce. Here is Barack Hussein Obama touting his Christian faith. Notice his middle name is not Barack Jesus Obama.
As someone who values the role of people of all faiths in American life, I'm always touched by the amazing stories of love, service, and compassion that take place in this country every single day. They reinforce the power of my Christian faith.
Here is Obama making excuses on a late-night talk show, making excuses for the Arab riots and the Middle East burning.
Here's what happened. You had a video that was released by somebody who lives here, sort of a shadowy character, who is an extremely offensive video directed at the at Muhammad and Islam.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad. This caused great offense in much of the Muslim world.
We have an academic egghead running the country. Obama's Media Matters goon squad. Media Matters is the same group that took me out of context and had me banned in Britain. They are the most dangerous organization in American history. When Romney wins, they should be rounded up and arrested, and their tax-exempt status revoked, and all of their income seized. We have an academic egghead running the country, and a ruthless one at that. No one ever called him foolish. He's a cunning leader who has been accruing more and more power on a daily basis, running one secret meeting after another like King George III, a tyrant in every sense of the word, defying the will of the people as they expressed it in the resounding defeats they administered to Democrats in the 2010 midterm elections. Obama has ignored the pleas of the American people, shrugging off the rulings of state and federal court judges, going so far as to mock and insult the Supreme Court of the United States in his 2011 State of the Union speech, and defying the attempt of Congress to shut down his illegal maneuvers. I've tried to tell you that in the first 2 years, 3 years of the first Obama presidency, has amounted to nothing less than a leftist takeover of the United States. I can go into all the details, but I don't need to. You can read my books where I spell it all out. But one of the tyrants he has used is a czar named Cass Sunstein. Cass Sunstein is a very dangerous academic egghead. And Cass Sunstein has a dangerous wife named Samantha Power, who is one of the Valkyries working with Hillary Clinton in the war room. The three women, Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, and Samantha Power, are the ones who orchestrated the overthrow of Mubarak and the killing of Gaddafi. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea what this has led to? You say, well, they meant well. Yeah, but the road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions. You mean they wanted to bring democracy to an area that isn't ready for it? Is that another way to put it? They wanted to bring democracy to a region that will never, ever, ever have a democracy. They're incapable of it. Now, I could go into the intellectual reasons why this area, these people, this culture is never going to have a chance at democracy. They can't. We've tried to explain it to you on the Savage Nation over an 18-year period. In my writings, in my broadcasts. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Democracy is not easy to achieve in a nation. The people need to have a basis for their democracy. Fortunately for us,
The people who founded America had a basis for their republic, call it a democracy when it really is a republic, but for the sake of discussion, we'll call it a democracy, which it isn't. It's a republic. They had a basis for it in the Christian Bible, which taught them compassion, taught them constraint, taught them other things that were necessary for a republic to arise from the ashes of a revolution. Those in the Middle East don't have such a document. They have a document that's a little different in so many ways. Read it and find out what I'm talking about. You'll find out why the foolishness of the academic eggheads will never produce a democracy. Ahmed does not want to flip camel burgers, no. Ahmed would rather die than flip camel burgers. But the mainstream media in the United States will not explain this to you. And so, therefore, it falls upon men like me. Tyranny of the egghead wars. Tyranny of Obama's radical accomplices. It's all in trickle-down tyranny. I keep hawking my book because I want to go to the book. But I don't want to go to the book. I know if I go to the book, I'll turn you off as an audience because you don't want to hear me read anything, even though it's far more carefully worded than is a spontaneous broadcast on talk radio. I wrote it very carefully, passed a lot of legal scrutiny. And I try to explain to you who Samantha Power is, one of the Valkyries. But that's not what's going to reach you on what happened in Libya. All you want to talk about is why it happened. And many of you are taking the spoon-fed lie that it was because of an amateur film that was released on the internet about Muhammad. When a former jihadist from Libya himself said that's not the reason. This was a carefully orchestrated attack that was planned by al-Zawahiri, the number two in command of al-Qaeda. Now, some would say, you know, we want to get into conspiracy that this could be the early October surprise of Obama. It's a crisis. They never let a crisis go unnoticed. And he's going to come out looking, smelling like roses because he's going to launch some tomahawks from the two U.S. Navy destroyers just sent off the coast of Libya. The destroyers of the USS Laboon and the USS McFaul, both ships equipped with Tomahawk missiles that could be used if a strike was ordered. Now, remember, Reagan launched Tomahawks against Gaddafi. Remember that? And it put a stop to Gaddafi's madness at the time. Remember that or not? They killed Gaddafi's son. Reagan launched some attacks from a ship. I forget the name of the aircraft carrier at the time. If I'm not mistaken, they weren't Tomahawk launched. They were actually launched by F-15s at the time in the Gulf of Tripoli, if I can recall my history on the spur of the moment without any research in front of me. But nevertheless, he put one down the tent of Gaddafi, killed his son, and Gaddafi was never really as crazy after that. I believe that Obama's going to try and repeat the accolades he received from the killing of Osama bin Laden by hitting some targets in the desert. No doubt they'll blow up a used camel stand or a falafel stand somewhere in the desert and claim that they got somebody important. But it will certainly give the administration another opportunity to exhibit how an academic egghead goes to war. It will certainly give them the opportunity to have Hillary Clinton laugh yet again. She may yet again say, "We came, we saw, and he died." I mean, we don't know yet. But the fact of the matter is, there's no question in my mind they're going to use this opportunity, as politicians generally will do, to preen and to posture and show that they're very macho and in charge, when in fact the opposite happens to be true, unfortunately. I mean, I wish it was not true. I wish I could say to you that I haven't been reading that Obama's not been at his national security meetings for the last couple of months, 6 weeks it is, and he's missed 50% of his national security briefings because it was either too busy raising money or playing basketball or golf. You don't want to hear that because you didn't hear it from the very same vermin in the media who were telling you that Romney is the bad guy here. He actually did it. They try to make Romney into a worse guy than the murderers of the ambassador. Death is death. Death is the end. There's a decent man in the ground and two other decent men. The U.S. Marines who were guarding him are also killed. Cops die every day at traffic stops. Whacked at a traffic stop. Went up on a ticket violation and the son of a shot him in the head and killed him. A father of four. A military veteran. Thank God his partner had the wherewithal to come around and shoot the perpetrator in the head and kill him. I want to say thank God you had the guts and the brains to react properly and kill him and not bring this son of a gun to trial, because I didn't want to see him on death row for 30 years with the same liberal vermin telling us he had a bad childhood or that he, you know, he had a flashback or something. Thank God he shot him in the head and killed the perpetrator. You can make a contribution to the Highway Patrol Children's and Widows Fund, which I've contributed to, incidentally, a couple of years ago. I'm going to do it again. Go to my website, michaelsavage.com, and I really recommend you make a donation to the Widows and Orphans Fund of the Highway Patrol. Because, you know, we hear a lot of... I'm a little off here now on the police for a minute. There's a war going on in this country as well. And it's a war that's always been on. And were it not for the so-called thin blue line, we'd be living in a jungle altogether. An absolute jungle. So every time they put their uniform on in the morning and their vest and they load their gun, they don't know if they're coming home at night. You say, ah, that's nonsense, hero. Yeah, really? Tell it to his widow and the four children. It's the same for the troops that we send over there. There are men dying on the streets of America trying to keep the hordes away from you. The radical Islamists, whatever you want to call them, however you want to put it. Parse it any way you want. Run it through the dictionary. Ask Samantha Power the proper words to use. Call up Wolf Blitzer and ask him what he thinks about this. Mr. Home Run himself. So we're living in a very dangerous world. It's totally insane out there, both in America and abroad, and it's gotten worse under Obama. Why do I say it's gotten worse? Because it's gotten worse under Obama, that's all. That's why. Not maybe, but it has. Now we have a dead ambassador. When did we last have a dead ambassador? 1979, when Mr. Peanut was in the White House. Carter, another genius. Mr. Peace and Love. If you're nice to the radical Islamists, they're going to love you. So what did he do? He overthrew a very bad man, the Shah of Iran. Oh, we heard nothing about how bad the Shah was. Evil Shah of Iran. Savak was terrible. They were torturing poor innocent individuals in Iran. That's all we heard in the 70s. From the vermin in the media. So what happened? Jimmy Carter, the moron, becomes president. And Jimmy Carter, the moron, runs the Shah of Iran out of Iran. And who comes back? Who fills the power vacuum? Who fills the power vacuum? Who? You forget Khomeini came back from exile in London. And he started the cancer of radical Islam that we're now facing worldwide. All because of Jimmy Carter.
Savage.
Jimmy Carter started the cancer of radical Islam that we're now facing worldwide, all because of Jimmy Carter. Why did Jimmy Carter do it? Not because he's a bad man, because he is an idealist. I'll put it in the proper way. So you can take it as even you liberals can accept it. You know, Jimmy Carter was a do-gooder, an idealist. He figured if you're nice to the bad guy, in a good liberal sense, they'll be nice to you. It's the same way they treat criminals here in America. So you get a murderer, let's say, a cop killer. Who defends them? Liberal lawyers from New York City primarily. Who went to the worst law schools in the United States of America, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, NYU. The worst law schools in America produced the most wackadoodles you've ever seen. So they go to death row and they believe, oh yeah, I'm reading the Bible or I became a Muslim. I didn't mean it. It was because I was on drugs. My mother didn't give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I wanted to be three. I have no idea. I'll come out. I'll be fine. They work overtime to let the guy out of jail and he kills again. And they're shocked, I tell you, shocked. They cannot believe that it was all a fake. Same exact mentality. And the cops are the ones who have to take the bullets and pick up the pieces from liberalism, the mental disorder. But now we're seeing that it has ramifications not solely on a domestic front, but on an international front. Why do I say it? Do you remember the celebrations by that fool, that dimwit, Anderson Cooper, the pretty boy? The pretty boy, Anderson Cooper. Delighted with himself, looking in the mirror of the television camera and seeing nothing but beauty. And all he saw were beautiful young men in Libya who had blackberries in the back of their jeans. And he said, they must be good because they want democracy. Let's get rid of Gaddafi. And here we are. So who did this? You think this happened by itself? No, my friends, it didn't happen by itself. It happened from the Democrat government media complex's foolishness. We have a real situation on our hands. The Arab Crescent is in turmoil because of the academic eggheads who have orchestrated the downfall of crazy dictators like Gaddafi and Mubarak, dictators who didn't kill our ambassadors, by the way. Now the ambassador is dead and our embassies are being stormed. So I'll ask you, which was worse? Which is worse? The strong men who kept these fanatics at bay, or the mobs that have now killed our ambassador and swarming the embassies? And it's not over yet. It's just begun. And don't believe the lie that it's over an amateur movie on the internet, because a former jihadist himself from Libya, who was basically left it behind, said, don't believe that at all. This was orchestrated by Zawahiri, the number two in Al-Qaeda, as a retaliation for killing one of his deputies with a drone. But you're not going to hear that from Wolfie Blitzer, another Fugazi in the media. So, you know, you look at what's going on. Romney finally says something that sounds presidential. I said, I can't believe it's the same man. And who attacks him? Well, the usual suspects, the left-wing fanatics. But who else? None other than Peggy Noonan, who seems to be senile now that she's joining the liberals and attacking Romney at a time like this. Listen to what Peggy Noonan said in clip 7.
When you step forward in the midst of a political environment and start giving statements on something dramatic and violent that has happened, you're always leaving yourself open to accusations that you are trying to exploit things politically. I don't feel that Mr. Romney has been doing himself any favors, say, in the past few hours.
Peggy Noonan, a so-called conservative, attacking Romney for standing up and saying that this occurred because of weakness and we shouldn't apologize for our values. So, you know, look at how things are emerging in the country, where a once brilliant woman who's showing signs of senility would attack Romney at a time like this, joining fanatics like Wolf Blitzer and the other jerks, is astounding to me. They don't know what they're talking about anymore, because what Romney said was very clear. Play Romney again, because it was fabulous. I want to hear Romney again.
I think it's a terrible course for America to stand in apology for our values. That instead, when our grounds are being attacked and being breached, that the first response of the United States must be outrage at the a breach of the sovereignty of our nation.
Good for you. That's good enough. Good enough for me. Somebody finally said that we have a nation and we're a sovereign nation. In other words, he actually believes in borders, maybe even language, and maybe even culture. Something that those three words were anathema to Obama. Borders? Are you kidding? He's a man of the earth, a man of the world. Language? Which language? Indonesian? Kenyan? English? Man of the world. Culture? What culture? The Bible? The Quran? The Talmud? Which culture are you talking about to Obama? He's a man of the world. A man for all seasons. La Mancha, a man for all seasons. Unbelievable what's going on. You have to study this very carefully to understand it has nothing to do with an amateur movie on the internet. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. This was strictly a message from Al-Qaeda saying on 9/11, we are still out to get you. That's all it was. End of story. And if you go back to when they whacked Gaddafi, remember, Gaddafi was killed, not captured and brought to justice, but executed. Executed. Listen to what Hillary Clinton said after he was brutally murdered, the same way this ambassador was. You have to hear it.
We came, we saw, he died.
That's your women. That's your Valkyries. Remember, we were told the big lie when the women were running for office, that women would be more kinder and gentler. We bring women to power, we'd have more sanity in the world. Take a look at what we have today. Take a look at what 20 years of Dianne Feinstein, by the way, who's the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Her husband does huge business with China. I wonder if she's overlooking certain things for business reasons. No, that doesn't happen. No, hey, I swear in a stack of clean blouses. I swear in a stack of clean white blouses. She's as clean as the driven snow. No. Are you kidding? I would never, ever advantage my husband, Dick Blum, in any way in any of his business dealings with China. I am the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee to show you how much I love America. China can do no wrong. No matter what, can do no wrong. So we have 20 years of Dianne Feinstein. We have Barbara Boxer. We have Hillary Clinton. You name them. We have a kinder, gentler America. We have a weaker, more corrupt America. We have a weaker, more corrupt America. And whatever you may want to say or think about what happened in Libya or about me, doesn't matter. Just remember one thing to take home tonight, which is that as bad as Gaddafi was, he didn't kill our ambassadors. And this band of psychotics and thugs did kill our ambassador and two brave U.S. Marines who were there to defend them. And they didn't just kill him easily. They tortured him to death by what I can see in the picture. It looks like they beat him to death. Never mind suffocated from smoke inhalation. That's the cover story. Where'd that come from? Take a look at the body. It's battered from head to toe. They're carrying like a corpse that was beaten. Battered. Smoke inhalation. They make things up on the spot. So where do you want to go with this? I can tell you where to go with this. Think about it. Read everything you can. Listen to everything you can. Read my chapter again in Trickle Down Tyranny. You'll see I predicted it all. I told you this was coming. And never forget the name Samantha Power, the wife of Cass Sunstein. She's one of the triumvirate of the Valkyries, one of the war hawks in the administration who celebrated the death of Gaddafi and the overthrow of Mubarak.
We came, we saw, he died.
The flight of the Valkyries. That's what we have running America and the world right now. Academic eggheads who are bloodthirsty. Valkyries. From the Old Norse, Valkyria, chooser of the slain. Female figures who decide who dies and who lives in battle. So apparently Hillary Clinton and Samantha Power and Susan Rice decided that Gaddafi had to go. It was thumbs down by them on him. It was thumbs down by them on Mubarak. And take a look at what we have today. All as a result of the fact that we have fugazis at every level of the Obama administration. There's almost not one of them that you can say with any authority knows what they're doing. You know, the fact of the matter is, this did not happen because of a little video movie about Muhammad. This did not happen because of that, according to Libyan writers. It didn't happen because of that. That's just the cover story. This was a message to America, a message of thank you for liberating us so we can stab you in the back. This was a message to America that 9/11 was just the beginning. It wasn't the end of what we're going to do to you. That's all. Now, of course, if you go to the airport this afternoon and you're from Libya, you'll be ushered right onto the airplane, even if you have a stick of dynamite in your hand. You can tell them it's part of your religious paraphernalia. But if you are a nun in a wheelchair wearing a cross, you'll be strip searched by a pervert somewhere in a back room by the Department of Homeland Security. That's our own Al-Qaeda. That's what they've turned America into, a nation under siege by its own police force, in essence. Its own federal police force is turned on the people, not on those who would harm us, is how most people see it, by the way. They have everything backwards. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's the Lilliputians running the world. It's been written before. Jonathan Swift tried to write it. Jonathan Swift wrote about what happens when Lilliputians take over a nation. And for his reward in Gulliver's Travels, he was put into an insane asylum, which is what they used to do to people who dared speak out in the ex-Soviet Union. We're not too far away from that under Obama. They have been arresting U.S. soldiers who write anything on their own Facebook page that criticizes the government and putting them into medical facilities. We are on the road to the ex-Soviet Union because dear leader Obama is exactly in that mold. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
What can I say that you haven't heard today? You've heard all of this all day long. You didn't hear much about Samantha Power from Trickle Down Tyranny. You didn't hear Hillary Clinton giggling over the killing of Gaddafi because nobody found the tape. You didn't hear my quote from the ivory tower to the loss of power in one administration until you tune into the Savage Nation. You did not hear what the Russians had to say about this until you turn on the Savage Nation. You probably didn't hear that the Libyan security showed radicals where to kill the ambassador who was in hiding until you turned on this show. But what else has justified the expenditure of time that you have invested in listening to Michael Savage? Some call me a diamond in the rough. Some call me a diamond, but nobody calls me a fugazi. And the reason they don't call me a fugazi is because what you hear is what you get. I'm not here to tell you something I don't believe. Sometimes I'm a little too brusque. Sometimes I'm a little too direct. Sometimes I guess I go over the top in trying to get you to listen before it's too late. But don't ever call me a fugazi, because what you're getting from me is the real McCoy. And what I say to you is what the average American who knows what's going on is thinking. Even if you are on the other side of the aisle, you should be thanking me for telling you what most Americans who know what's going on are thinking. Those who have not been properly brainwashed by your minions in academia and in the corporate world through affirmative action training. This is what most Americans, 30% of Americans, think. The 30% of Americans who are despised by Hollywood, the 30% of Americans who are despised by the Obama administration, the 30% of Americans who are spat upon by this administration is who I speak to. Certainly they all don't listen to this show on a daily basis. I wish they did. I do what I can with the audience I have. This is the third largest radio show in the United States of America. I've written 6 New York Times bestsellers in a row. Write it down in case you missed it. 6 New York Times bestsellers in a row, including my great novel, Abuse of Power. And the reason I mention my novel, Abuse of Power, is because it's interesting. It's about a TV journalist by the name of Jack Hatfield, a hardened former war correspondent who had national prominence because of his insight and his provocative commentary. But then he is smeared as a bigot and called an extremist by a radical leftist media watchdog group, modeled on George Soros's Media Matters, by the way. He ultimately loses his job and finds himself working in obscurity as a freelance news producer in San Francisco. And then Hatfield, my protagonist in Abuse of Power, modeled somewhat on Michael Savage with regard to being obscured by the left-wing hit groups. Do you know that I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering the United Kingdom? Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering the United Kingdom? Do you know why? Because I dared say what was going on in the world. And then in the novel, I kind of fictionalize it. And the novel, it follows a shadowy trail that leads Hatfield from San Francisco to Tel Aviv, London, Paris, and back again as he works with a stunning Yemeni intelligence agent and a veteran Green Beret to expose a terrorist group known as the Hand of Allah and a plot within the highest corridors of power that will dwarf 9/11. In this lightning-paced first thriller spanning the globe from Europe and Israel to the back alleys of San Francisco's Chinatown, a reporter must make the choice between protecting his own life and investigating a terrorist cell whose goal is nothing less than total political control, no matter what the cost. Well, I got chills up my spine and my hair is tingling. Abuse of Power by Michael Savage. It did become a bestseller. I have another one coming out. The next one is A Time for War in the spring. They just signed another 2-book deal with me. They love me. There is an audience out there. Just because Weinstein doesn't like me, just because Harvey Weinstein doesn't produce the movie, doesn't mean that 30% of Americans are wrong. You know, doesn't mean that 30 million Americans or 60 million Americans are that dumb, Harvey. It could be that they're just unserved by your kind and your like. You understand that, Harvey, what I'm saying to you? And if you don't like it, it's too bad, Harvey. It's just too bad. But we don't bow down to false idols, Harvey Weinstein. We don't bow down to kings who have no clothes, Harvey. That's 30% of America. The same 30% of America that did not like the King's Law in the United States of America. You may not know this, but if you look back upon the American Revolution, it was only 30% of the people who dared stand up to the king. 60% of them said, what are you causing trouble for? 60% of the early American settlers said, we don't want to go to war with England. We like them. It's okay. We can live under their subjugation. We don't mind. We're doing okay. We don't care that we have to kowtow to the English. But it was 30% who said, no, it's our country and we're not going to bow down to them. It's only been 20 to 30% in this country from the beginning that ever had the guts and the brains to understand what's going on. So I don't expect 100% of the people to understand what's going on. The fact of the matter is you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Abe Lincoln said that, and he was speaking for you, the 30% that listens to the Savage Nation. You, the conservatives who are criticized, lambasted, put down by the left-wing, radical, psychotic drug takers who are running the world right now right off the rail. They're running us off the cliff like lemmings running us off the cliff. Right off the cliff. I warned you now for over a year that the Arab Spring had become the Arab Winter. I warned you that this administration was either knowingly or inadvertently bringing to power radical Islamists in the Arab Crescent, which, of course, if you study even a modicum of history, you understand why this is happening. And you understand why, when we overthrew Mubarak, our best friend for over 40 years, what would occur. They took a cork out of a bottle, and they're shocked that the embassy was attacked in Egypt. You don't know what's coming. You have no idea what's coming. And at the same time, Obama and his eggheads have done this. They tell Israel to drop dead. They tell Israel, which is facing an existential threat to its existence, from enemies like Ahmadinejad, who's on his way to New York City, which is shocking. It's like Hitler's coming to town, and the liberals are throwing him a party. I can guarantee you that Bloomberg will open up a Jeroboam. Now, Ahmadinejad may not drink it, but Bloomberg certainly wouldn't miss an opportunity to kowtow to someone who wants to destroy his own people. Why should he? After all, look at the photograph he could put on his wall. Remember Bloomberg with the Victory Mosque down at Ground Zero? Whatever happened to that? How'd that go? By the way, now that we're speaking about radical Islam, how about Major Nidal Hassan, the Muslim major, who was ushered all the way up the top ranks of the military, even though he was signing his medical reports with Allah be praised? Can you imagine if someone in the military had signed any of their medical reports, Jesus saves? Can you imagine what Mr. Dempsey, the great Supreme Commander, hoo-la-la, boo-la-la, Dempsey would have said? I think he was Secretary of the Army at the time. Allah be praised, that's fine in medical reports because that's his religious right. Are you crazy? Jesus saves is not his religious right. Remember he killed how many? 33 people? How come he hasn't been brought to trial? How come Major...